I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to talk about two stories that are literally out of the headlines. A couple of weeks ago, R&B superstars Chris Brown and Rihanna were together on the eve of the Grammy Awards. But before the night was over, something happened that left the young woman battered and the young man facing criminal charges. Now, it's important to note that Brown has been charged only with making criminal threats, and the investigation is ongoing. But parents know their kids see what celebrities are doing. And frankly, the issue is closer to home than you might think. Surveys show that nearly 1 in 10 high school students says that he or she has been hit, slapped, or physically hurt on purpose by a boyfriend or girlfriend. And to top it off, another story about physical abuse is making headlines for very different reasons. Musamul Hassan, who co-founded an American Muslim TV network called Bridges, along with his wife Asiya, is accused of murdering Asiya and beheading her. This case is very disturbing and is challenging many Muslims to consider what this means for their community. We decided we had to talk more about this. I'm joined by Leslie Morgan Steiner, author of the upcoming memoir Crazy Love, which details her experiences in an abusive first marriage. She's also a regular contributor to our parenting conversations. Danette Tucker is also a regular contributor to our parenting panel. And journalist and Tell Me More regular Asra Noumani is also with us. She's been reporting extensively on the Hassan case. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And I don't even know who to start with because each of you has a story to tell. And I think, Danny, I think I'm going to start with you because you have a son and a daughter, and your son is not quite dating age, but he's certainly interested age.
He's dating.
He's dating. Well, he's dating. That's new news to me.
Yeah.
But he's interested age. When you heard about the whole Chris Brown Rihanna thing, what came to mind? Did you feel a need to have a conversation with him? Or what conversation did you think he might be having about this?
Oh, I most definitely felt a need to have a conversation with him because when I was growing up, I had a high school sweetheart. It got abusive. And we didn't talk about those things, you know. From 14 to 17, I was with the same guy. And it didn't get physically abusive. It was verbal and mental. And I always made it a point in my mind to talk to my kids about that because a lot of high school relationships just go on. And the parents just may set a curfew and say, you guys can't be in the same room at the same time. But they don't know what's going on outside of the house and, you know, in the relationship.
Can I ask you a question, though, if it put you on the spot, which is that I don't think of you as a person who would take a lot of mess. And I think that that's an image a lot of people have of African-American women in mm-hmm. general. So it's kind of...
Notice I said it didn't get physical.
Well,
no,
but why do you think you stayed in a relationship so long that did you know you were being mistreated at the time?
No,
you thought that
it wasn't
normal?
Until later. When I thought it was normal. I mean, you know, he was calling me fat and, you know, say things that did not lift me up or didn't, you know. I was with him for a long time. We're best friends now. But and to his credit, he didn't know anybody either. We were just doing what we saw other people do. You know, we would argue. We would fight. He would say things. I would cry. And to me, that was normal. But when I looked at my own kids, it's not normal. And we have to talk about it. What I wasn't going to do from this point on was sweep anything else in the closet or under the rug.
Let me bring Leslie into this. You have an upcoming book where you talk about your own experience with domestic violence in your first marriage. And you want to ask what that experience was and why you decided to go public with it.
Well, I was married very young. I was only 22. And my husband was physically abusive. And very much like Danny, I didn't know that it was abuse. I thought I was just in love with a very troubled man. And as a result of that experience, I have talked to my children with my second husband. It's important to note that I did not have children with my first husband, which is one reason I'm free to speak about it so openly. But my children now, they are 6, 10, and 12. And since they were even younger, I spoke to them pretty openly about the fact that my first marriage was abusive. And with little kids, you can be pretty simplistic. Now that my children are a little older, it gets more complicated, especially with my memoir Crazy Love coming out and the fact that there probably will be some publicity surrounding it. I really need to prepare them for this really difficult subject. And it's hard to talk to kids about this.
In fact, you wrote about this for CNN.com, where you wrote about the fact that a lot of people might look at Chris Brown and Rihanna. And again, we have to say that it hasn't been confirmed that Rihanna is the victim of abuse, but a picture has been leaked. Unauthorized distribution of a picture that shows that she has been physically harmed. And you said that maybe people look at them and think they're young, they're beautiful, they are successful. That surely wouldn't happen to them. And people would look at you and say, you are young, you are white, you're successful. That surely wouldn't happen to you.
In fact, I looked at myself in the same way. You know, I had just graduated from Harvard. My husband also was an Ivy League graduate. I was working at 17 Magazine in New York. He was a Wall Street trader. You know, we had this great life. It looked like it on the outside, and also looked like that to me. But behind closed doors, there was a lot of really terrible stuff going on. And it wasn't necessarily my ex-husband's fault. You know, he had witnessed a lot of abuse as a child and had been abused himself by his stepfather, like Chris Brown alleges. And I think the silver lining is that people are talking a lot about domestic violence now. And that is good. And it's sort of like, if it could happen to people like Chris Brown and Rihanna, it could happen to anybody. And in fact, it does happen to everybody.
I want to talk a little bit more in just a few minutes about what exactly you should be saying or what exactly you say to your kids to talk about something like this. But before we do, Asra, I want to bring you in. You've been reporting recently about the story about a mother of two near Buffalo, New York, who was the co-founder with her husband of this American Muslim TV network. And this was a couple that had gotten a lot of attention, particularly in the wake of 9/11, for their efforts to show a different face of Islam. And this crime is shocking on its face. But tell me more about the reverberations that have arisen as a result of this.
Well, yeah, this couple was like the model couple, the one that you thought that was living the perfect American immigrant dream. But behind closed doors, it was a completely different story. What I've been able to now understand is that for the last 15 years, at least, the husband, Muzammil Hassan, has been going between marriages. This was his third marriage, with a deeply troubled history of mental illness. And in this story is the story of silence. Basically, in our American Muslim community, like so many traditional communities, we don't want to deal with issues of mental illness or domestic violence. And so, as one community organizer said, the community was an accomplice in this crime. And what basically happened was that this wife, Asiya, lived a private hell. She went in and out of our police stations here in America, but for the most part, didn't seek help from within the community. Everybody knew about it, and this is the cycle of pain, I think, in so many of these situations where the victim becomes victimized many times over and stays in a place of weakness.
But it isn't a case where she didn't seek help from the authorities. Why do you think, if she was willing to call the police? I'm not blaming her. Please let me emphasize, I am not blaming this woman for what happened. But I am curious to know, what's your understanding of why it is that she was still so isolated?
I think that it happens to so many of us oftentimes, where you know that a situation is unhealthy and yet you still keep trying to make change. And so in that, you also become isolated. One of the activists was talking to me about suffering in silos. And I thought that that image was really appropriate, because what you keep trying to do is fix the situation. And that's what it seems Asiya was trying to do.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with our regulars, Asra Nomani, Leslie Morgan Steiner, and Danny Tucker. And we're talking about two cases that have brought the issue of domestic violence firmly into our consciousness, into our living rooms. And Danny, here's a story that came out in the wake of the whole Chris Brown Rihanna situation that has been passed around very much on the blogosphere. And it pointed out how many kids think that pushing or hitting or mean words is normal in a relationship. The statistics, and this has been a number of studies that we've cited, and we'll have links to them on our website, say that the number of kids, young kids in dating relationships who are exposed to this is actually pretty high. And I wonder, what do you think about that? I mean,
it's very normal. And it was one reason why I took the opportunity to talk to Damon Imania, because I had to take responsibility when me and her dad were together and we fought and we argued, and then he would push or I would push. That's what they see. They see us argue as you know, in relationships or in our marriages. They see their friends argue, and argument escalates a lot of times if somebody doesn't walk away to violence. So that is normal, because the first thing Davon said to me is, well, Mom, she keep coming. What am I supposed to do? You run away or you deal with me. You know, I always give him that option. It's either, you know, deal with me or deal with it. But, you know, I said, you just have to walk away. You have to run away. I know, because his thing was, these girls are feisty, and they are. And, you know, the girls are coming at them like, you know, and
you're saying girls are physically aggressive?
Oh, yeah. The girls are a lot, right now, a lot more physically aggressive.
You're saying girls will hit a guy?
Oh, yes, they will. And I've seen them. You know, and Imani said the same thing. She says, you know, well, so-and-so got into it with her friend. And my thing was, well, why does she even have a boyfriend? She's 11. So, I mean, you know, these are the things that we have not talked about. And that's when I said, okay, you know what? Let's talk about relationships. Let's talk about you trying to play married or playing couples. This is not a game. This takes a lot of work when we're in a relationship, when we're in a marriage, when we're dating or whatever. It's not just something where we, oh, boo, I love you, or oh, boo, I love you, and then we go off into the sunset. This is work.
What exactly have you told your kids about the boundaries that are to be set?
First of all, I told them I don't want them dating seriously. You try to play an adult game with us with a child mind. You know, I wish somebody had told me that in high school. So Davon is taking that to heed. He's like, well, Ma, this young lady, he went on a date with a nice young lady. I met her. We know. We talked to the family. I want him to do it that way. We're going back to the old-fashioned way because right now things to me are very out of control because people are not talking until something like this happens.
You know,
Leslie, okay, go ahead, Asra.
I'll be honest. I was one of those women. I mean, when I just was in meltdown with the father of my baby and he was refusing to own up and take responsibility, it was a emotionally unhealthy situation, right? And I lost it. I mean, I walloped on him one night and I became enraged and an animal like I would never otherwise be. But I still stayed in that unhealthy, sick relationship for months. And one night after I'd had my son, I was like literally sitting on the floor of my bedroom, sneaking. I'm 37 years old at that point. I'm like sneaking a call to the father of my baby because I know that my mom would disapprove because she's not much liking on him, right? And I accidentally call 911 using the country code, city code for Pakistan, where I was trying to call. So I get the West Virginia State Dispatcher. I hang up the phone. She does the right thing and calls me back.
He calls back.
Yeah, and she says, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. I just misdialed. She said, does someone have a gun to your head? And that's when the light bulb went on, you know, and I had a gun to my own head. And that was the moment when I got out of that relationship because it was unhealthy. And that physical violence comes after long periods of an unhealthy relationship. And I think the best thing that we can try to teach our kids is the parameters of healthy relationships, right?
Leslie, what exactly have you told your kids about what acceptable boundaries are? How explicit are you?
As explicit as you could be in simplistic terms, that it's not okay to hit somebody and it's not okay to
be hit.
And I think it's worth saying that domestic violence does happen where it's women hitting men. I think it's very underreported because there's even more shame and embarrassment about that. But it does happen. So it's wrong any time to be hit or to hit somebody. So I'm really clear with them about that. I think where it gets a lot harder is explaining to a teenager who is overwhelmed by feelings of their first love what the parameters are. Because I remember being a young teenage girl and being so flattered that one of my boyfriends was really possessive and didn't want me to wear a bikini in front of other men. I mean, I was just thrilled by it. And I look back at that now and I say, how would I explain to my 10-year-old daughter how kind of twisted that was? And that I wish that somebody had said to me at that time, you know, not only is this really kind of unusual that you're flattered by it, but extrapolate this out into a marriage and into long-term commitment. And are you really going to be happy with somebody who takes that attitude?
How would you have brought that up, though, in a way you think kid world could hear it, kid ears could hear it?
You know, my mother and I love my mother, and my mother was instrumental in me getting out of the abusive relationship. But we never talked about details like that when I was a teenager or as a young married woman. And my 10-year-old and I, we talk about everything. I mean, and that's, I feel like hopefully she will tell me about things like that. And I hope so much, even though they're too young to read Crazy Love, that one day they do read it and that they are able to see for themselves how dangerous it can be to get and how seductive that kind of love can be. I think, you know, we tend to demonize abusive love and say that the man who abuses a woman is a really terrible person. But the truth is that there's lots of good in them, too. I mean, I never would have fallen in love with my ex-husband if he didn't have a lot of wonderful qualities. And I think we as a society will be better off if we recognize that.
Briefly, if I wanted to ask each of you, Asra, what reaction have you gotten to your reporting on this case so far?
I reported this case for a publication called The Daily Beast, and the letters have been really phenomenal. I mean, the idea that we can understand this killing in a way that is about universal issues like silence and shame are compelling to people because they, I think most people realize that domestic violence and abuse are universal issues, but understanding the human tragedy here is, I think, what people want to know.
Danny, very briefly, what reaction have you had with the kids now that you started surfacing this issue with them?
I like their reaction because they're interested and they care. My thing to them always is, has to be a heart issue first when you're dealing with people. You know, remember that that's a person. I have not liked a lot of the responses for Chris Brown. He's not the plague. He's a young man that made a mistake and needs our help and needs healing. So my kids are having that spirit, and that's the one I want them to have. Because there are going to be people in their lives that are going to make mistakes, okay? And you may still have to interact with those people. You got to come with a healing attitude of it. You know, they don't need to be banned to a leprosy colony. They need us to help them, be it through prayer, be whatever you can do. So that's what they're doing. Monty says, what can I do? You can pray. Davon, you can also, when you're in that situation, you see that happening to a friend, you do not be silent. You tell a parent, you tell an adult, don't let your girlfriend or don't let your boyfriend hit each other and then you all just dap it up and go about like it's what we normally do. No, be the big one and speak up. So those are the two things I'm getting them to do.
And Leslie, finally, what reaction have you been getting to the conversations you've been having at home and the conversations you've been having online as a result of the work that you've been publishing about this?
Well, the piece in CNN, Rihanna Is Not Alone, got me about 100 emails from complete strangers who had been through the same thing. And I just can't tell you how gratifying and supportive it feels to know that there's so many other people who've been through it and who survived and have gone on to have wonderful lives, that it's not something that ruins your life. Now, closer to home, my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, is very interested. She read the CNN piece, and we talked a lot about it. And I made a copy for my son, and he just sort of shook his head and said, I don't know, Mom. It makes me uncomfortable. And I think he's old enough that he really knows the seriousness of it, and he knows that it really happened to me and that it made me very that it was a very dark period in my life.
Leslie Morgensteiner, Asra Noumani, Danny Tucker, they all joined us in our studios in Washington. I thank you all so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
For more information and resources about where to get help if you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, please visit the Tell Me More page of NPR.org. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.